Hello, hello, everyone. This is Luca Mino. We are back. We have the streams dropped and brought up again. We are back again for another show of Learn to Unlearn. Terribly important. And the most important thing is to say hello to everybody first. Annie and everybody in the chat and our super producer, Steve, who is always there. How are you doing, Steve?
I'm here.
Good man. Good man. It's good to have you here. We have all kinds of stuff to share today on this show. And Luca should start his timer like that. There we go. Yeah, we got everything. We got the timer going. We're not on mute. He's not telling me I'm on mute. There's all kinds of stuff I want to share. Of course, we like to start out with a prayer. And because Memorial Day just went by, the 11th of November just went by, I wanted to say the prayer that I mentioned for the veterans, because I feel closer to them in particular than most because of what I've been through and what I've known about them and what I've known from the outside. No, I've never served, you know. Oh, then shut up. You don't know what you're talking about, you know. That's how they treat you, you know. So, oh, okay. Well, I'm how's a family of the served or the people who served or friends of those who served, right? Whatever you want to call it. This is what I wrote for them, and I had this on a little piece of paper like I had it on the first time that I wrote it. I wanted to apologize. And this could be for everybody too, even if you didn't serve, but mostly for people who have the V in front of their name, as in veteran, male or female, or having served, for the hurt, for the pain, for the suffering, for the insults and the wait at the VA. Because yours truly was here at the VA with my friend for 3.5 hours watching. Okay, you don't have anything to do with the VA, right? This is the first time you go to the VA, okay? And you're watching. You're watching the lady behind the desk. You're watching how she reacts with the people she's working with. You're watching the chain of command. You're watching who gets called and who doesn't. You're watching who sat there for I don't know how many hours, okay? And the other person that didn't. So that inspired that part of it. For the lies they told you. And remember, this is my apology, right? For the deception, which is the war and our military. For trauma and hardship in the families. Okay? And I've talked about that one commercial that made me cry, that literally brought me to tears. And this is a commercial for Wounded Warrior Project. And that's when I started paying $20 a month to help them out, because they're helping the widowed of the people that served either in 9/11 or in Iraq or whatever, whatever it is. That's what they say they do. And they have interviews on the commercials with the women that survive with the children, with the two children without him. Right. And this time, this commercial, it was about them saying how they met and what happened. And she starts out, she says, well, we had our first date and he never left. And I thought, how cool is that? How profound. And then you can tell she's like gulp, you know, she couldn't say anything else and they had to cut to somebody else. Okay. They had their first date and he never left. That's heaven. So here I am wanting to talk about that. That's the end of my writing, by the way. So I just wanted to start with that. And I have something else called Do It Anyway that I had to dig up from. I don't remember when I talked about it last, but I'm going to start with that. Then we're going to go to The Killers of the Flower Moon. We're going to slip in some Leonard Cohen, Bob Dylan, and John Lennon. Hopefully. And in the music segment, see, here I am on chat earlier. I'm going, am I going to start with the music segment or not? And I'm saying to myself, okay. Well, you know what you can start with, Luca, is being an artist. And this is something really cool. And I'll add something about the white man's paper versus the land to finish, okay? Because we like Native American stuff, and I really appreciate you welcoming the Native American stories. And here's one, okay? You're an artist. I remember talking on this show about the more you work on integrity, the less money you have. The more you work around money, the less integrity you're likely to have or to develop, right? The more money you have, the more power you have instead of responsibility towards the people. But that's a whole other thing. That's a whole other show. The more money you have, the less you work on your integrity. The more you need, the more you want to bribe, the easier it is to corrupt. You know what I mean? Like, you're getting corrupt. I believe that. I also believe that everything is a matter of choice. So you can't make any excuses about this story about the tyrant. You know, he's asked, how did you become a tyrant? Oh, well, because the people never stopped me. You know, no, that's BS as far as I'm concerned, because you have a choice. You have a personal choice. Am I going to take that power and make my people flourish, or am I going to just flourish myself at their expense? I think it's fair, right? So I find that me, little me, being the artist that I am and having my best friend who's an artist as well, he backed off from $30,000 a month. If he shut his mouth, if he did what he was told, right? We know his story. Most people that listen to my shows knew about his military and his experience and what happened to him when he became a human being, when he realized, when he reconnected with his being a spirit, okay, and not being able to harm other people. So we become artists. We make money, let's say, okay? Oh, wow, all of a sudden we're accepted. Oh, okay. An hour from here in Quincy, you know, at the museum. Oh, wonderful. Okay. And whoops, you know, you're making good money. You know, people are buying your stuff. They really like it. Then all of a sudden you realize what racket you're in, because you realize that you're starting to deal with them personally. They're telling you their opinion on your work. They're demanding more of you personally. Then they kind of go, well, you know, they kind of demand you to work for them or make a piece that they would like, and they'll pay you handsomely for it. So then you sit back and you're going, am I doing what I set out to do myself originally, or am I taking job offers from people that don't even care about what I do and that are using me and throwing money at me because they can? Is that what an artist is, right? So you put into question, what am I doing? Is it right? See? And then there's criticizing your work. And then there's suggesting the different things that you can do to be a better artist. Oh, boy. See, that's the people of money. That's the people of Mashishka, as my best friend calls it. Mashishka is the Lakota word for that. It's money. It's, you know, how your money is so important, you know? Well, guess what? The Indian says, you know what? Your money is not as good as our land. And so I remember hearing that on social media. And I know that story, and it's so far back. You know, I needed to find that again. Blackfoot Crossing, now a heritage, national heritage site, has a story on its website describing Crowfoot's encounter with the white treaty negotiators. And remember, if you're talking to Luca, treaties equal lies. Okay? That's what they were. They could be annulled at any time. They could be amended at any time. They could be changed at any time, deleted whenever they want. Okay? They were lies written out on paper, knowing that the Indian couldn't understand. And most of the time, he signed with an X. Okay? They were just hoping that it was in good heart. But it wasn't. Okay? So according to the story, the white man said that he would give Crowfoot money for pieces, you know, pieces of land or pieces of paper. As the story goes, Crowfoot takes a handful of clay, balls it up, and then throws it into the fire. And then asks the negotiator if he could do the same thing with his paper money. Oh, well, you know, okay, your money is not as good as our land, is it? The wind will blow it away. The fire will burn it. The water will rot it. But nothing will destroy our land. You don't make a very good trade. And he looks at him after a while of looking at the clay, and he says, as a present, we will give to you anything that you can carry with you. But you cannot have our land. We cannot give you our land. That was the reply. And I found it. So I was really happy to share that. And I'm going to share something that I wrote after I tell you a little joke. Okay, Stephen, can I tell you a little joke? Are you ready for this? This is cute.
Sure. Go ahead.
I don't need your help with this, but I just want to throw a little joke out. Imagine a red pickup truck, a 70s pickup truck, bouncing along on a dirt road, driven by a middle-aged Caucasian woman, and she stops to pick up an older Navajo woman walking on the side of the road. They you know, the door opens and all the dust, right? And they, you know, they look at each other and they salute, and she feels comfortable enough. She's like 90 years old, so she gets in quietly and closes the door, and they take off. Pretty soon, the Navajo woman starts looking around, looks next to her, and there's a paper bag next to her. And time goes by, and they don't say anything. And the Native American woman finally starts talking with the driver and keeps looking at the paper bag. And the woman driving kind of goes, okay, well, yeah, this is, something that I got. Oh, and she looks interested, and she goes, yeah, I got it from my husband. And the Navajo woman looks at her and says, oh, good trade.
Yeah, good trade.
I thought that was perfect. Good trade. You know, I got it from my husband. It's a bottle of wine, right? You know, good trade. Uh-huh. This is what elderly Native American women think of men. You know, that joke of the old woman, 102 years old, in the bed, and she's got a big smile on her face, and everybody wants to know why she's so happy. She's smiling all the time, and she's on her deathbed. So finally, one of them comes up to her and says, what are you smiling about? She says, well, I realized I could stay away from men, and that's why I lived to be so old. I stayed away from men. Anyway, that's for the women. And I hope Melissa doesn't grow to be old like that and say the same thing. So that's my attempt at a joke for the day, okay? So I have a little writing that I wrote. And this is for you guys, okay? Because I wrote this out. And something about a big pharma commercial that I'm turning into something really beautiful, because what they do in big pharma commercials, if you noticed, if you put the volume down and you don't listen to them and you watch, it's all about outdoor scenery. It's all about exercise. It's all about beautiful things with birds and surfing and, you know. And one time there was a woman opening up her wings and trying to fly. And I just started to write. This is called the soaring one. Okay. The Indian girl, go back to the 1800s, the Indian girl, who's told all her life by her loving parents that she was a bird and she could fly, and she would always outstretch her arms and fly as a child. And this is how she grew up. Okay. Until she got taken away from the government-led residential school system and imprisoned for most of her juvenile years. And then told, and scolded, never to do that. Never to open your arms and act like a bird, telling her she's not an animal anymore. She's no longer a beast of the forest, as Washington would say. You know, so all of a sudden now you're civilized and you don't do that anymore. She has new clothes now, and she'll learn white man's talk and act like them and live among them and leave the rest behind. This is what the idea was. It was either assimilation or extermination. It was that serious, because you're not a bird and you never were a bird. Can you imagine? and you will learn to laugh at your own people and repudiate them. And this is what happened to a lot of them. They turned against their own people after they were, trained or potty trained to be white or re-assimilated, whatever the term is that you'd like to use. They would end up repudiating their own people. That's how good of a job the church did on some of them and government. And you'll see how you've been lied to as a child all your life. And later in life, she finds herself again. She's once freed from all of her trauma. And she's running back to the top of the hill where she once was as a little girl, alone in the wind and the sun. She opens up her arms and dances like she used to as a child and hears her mother in the background telling her, yes, you're my soaring one. Yes, you're the one that soars. And she finds her way back to who she was. It's kind of the same thing that I'm doing in my life. Because I was scared to death of who I was. I was scared to death. The more I learned about who I was, the more I was reprimanded, scolded all the time, being reprimanded for not doing what, you know, like the rest of you, you know, you're not being like your brother and your sister. So I had a real problem with that. And for me, it was the fear of doing what I knew I had to do, and I couldn't, because every time I did it, it was out of the question, it was out of the ordinary, it wasn't allowed, right? And now I'm writing outside in the sun a few days ago, and I remember that that meme that I shared on this very station, and it says, be scared and do it anyway. Be underqualified and get in the room anyway. Be honest. Show your imperfections. This is what I love about my shows, because that's what it is. It's not about me. There's no ego involved. Be prepared for mistakes. And be unsure and show up anyway. Comfort is the enemy of growth. Get uncomfortable. Okay? So here I am with the clipboard outside with my favorite pen, and I write, "Do it anyway." And that's probably going to be the name or the title of my article, if I can remember correctly. So it's cool, you know, because do it anyway. You know, okay, it's your show. This is learn to unlearn. This is what we have to do. What is it? It's unfamiliar territory, is what it is, right? So we have to learn to get uncomfortable. Steve, you might have remembered that I shared something, and it's called Time. And I have to go back. This is going to be my music segment, I guess, because I want to throw this in before the break. A while back, I shared a song that sounds like this. And I want to play it through because I really want you to hear it. With the clock, with the rainstorm, and with the thunderclap. What you're doing is you're taking the thunderclap to go an octave higher and make the most impressionable feel that you can. Okay, so this is what I wanted to show you. Okay, so I wrote this piece a while back.
You have to stop that. You're putting me to sleep.
Oh, okay. It's a powerful. And you know what's cool? The click. Listen to the click of the clock, it sounds different a lot of times because it's not the same click. It's the real grandfather clock that I managed to get. Okay. So that's one.
I was just teasing you anyways.
Oh, I love it. Okay. So then comes something called Memorial Lies that I wrote. If you guys remember that, it's a 2-minute piece and, it goes something like this. So this is our quandary. It's imperative. It's absolutely imperative for us to understand events like World War I, World War II, and the Holocaust to grasp what's really going on today. They are all intricately related. Okay? So I'm talking like that, and it's a 2-minute clip. And I said to myself, you know what would be really cool? Why don't you mix the two together and start with time? You start with the click. And just put it on top of Memorial Lies and see what happens. So this is our quandary. It's imperative. It's absolutely imperative for us to understand events like World War I, World War II, and the Holocaust to grasp what's really going on today. They are all intricately related and done by the same people, the same gang. And I'll be talking about this until my last breath, basically. Let's have a look very quickly. Today we have the Pearl Harbor Memorial, there to keep the lie hidden, the truth written, and protected by the liars who perpetuated the crime. The JFK Memorial, there to keep the lie hidden, the truth written and protected by the liars who perpetrated the crime. The Vietnam Memorial, there to keep the lie hidden, the truth written and protected by the liars who perpetrated the crime. The Holocaust Memorial, there to keep the lie hidden, the truth written and protected by the liars who perpetrated the crime. The OKC Memorial, to keep the lie hidden, the truth written and protected by the liars who perpetrated the crime. The Boston Bombing, there to keep the lie hidden, the truth written and protected by the liars who perpetrated the crime. And finally, the 9/11 Memorial, just to name a few, there to keep the lie hidden, the truth written and protected by the liars who perpetrated the crime. It's that simple. Everything we know has been a lie. I love it when it stops, and I love giving that you know, that moment when you're expecting another one. I just love it. So you're playing with music, right? And you know what? I may have said it before, but I'll say it again. Those two tracks, when I put one on top of the other, they fell together. I didn't have to do anything. Even the thunderclap comes in at the right time. Really cool. So sometimes magic happens. Right? Sometimes magic does happen. Well, you know what? I've got to say this before the break, because music, how can we explain that? There's no laws in music, okay? Especially classical music. You could go from major to minor. You could go from, you know, F sharp to C, you know, and everything was allowed. Okay. And you know what it is? It's music. Music goes where it wants to. Andres Segovia, the guitar players, you'll know who I'm talking about. Master guitar player. He's a genius with two fingers. The guy he was a teacher. He would always say there's no such thing as a mistake. And that famous trumpet player said the same thing. Miles Davis, he said the same thing, I believe his name is. And there's no such thing as a mistake. And in my music talk, in my music segment, I have to show you a really, really good example of that. And I have the clip in the chat that I sent up. If you go up, you'll find the link to it. It's called Concerto. And I go a step better than that. I call it Concerto Magnificante. Why? Because you're taking a cat who's sitting, you know Nora the cat, right? She made the whirlwind tours like across the world, and you literally watch what she's doing. She knows you're looking at her. She's being recorded or whatever, and she paused at the keys. Okay. She paused at the keys, and it doesn't make any sense, and it never will, and everybody knows it. Until, oh my goodness, until an orchestra gets together and says, okay, so we're going to take her notes and we're going to build an orchestra, orchestra-led symphony, concerto, call it what you will, with what she plays. So they know what they play. They write it out. They know where they're going. And this is what it sounds like. And I got to play this. You got to hear this. This is the best part of it. So they have the allegro part in the beginning, right? And then it goes to adagio. It's unbelievable how much work. So the conductor is looking at the screen. And this is where she comes in. It makes sense with the orchestra. And then, listen to this. The musicians will love this one. Oh. Something that means absolutely nothing, that's what they turn it into, okay? And I'm going to stop it right there because that's the – I don't like it because then they get excited and then they get into a whole other movement. And I just don't – that part didn't resonate with me, right? See, this is all about resonance, right? That part right there with that one note that – bing, it just – it's that one note that you just heard after the pause right when I told you about it, that note – made me go, you know what? We're going to share it on Shake and Wake. You know why? Because that one note, that tells you there's no laws in music at all. It goes where it goes. It goes where it wants to. And it's all about following it. You know, so there you go. Nora the Cat made it on my show. I had to say that. Oh, do I have time for another one? Well, since we're on the Native American segment, I can say this in well, maybe not. No, you know what? We're going to go to commercial first, I think. That's the best idea. Because I don't want to rush. And we're on a good groove, as they say. So I'm going to fill up maybe less than a minute. Not of nonsense, because we're going to come back and I'm going to share some of the best memes that I have of the week with everybody. And we're going to go around the world once at least. We're also going to find out about my directions in the Mi'kmaq spirituality that I was taught, that I really wanted to share with you because of the season changes and because of how much I miss ceremony. And we're going to touch up with some really good memes that hopefully will make everybody think, like I always love doing. So I'm going to wet my whistle and you can actually play it a little early. That's fine. At 28:37, we'll be fine. And we'll be right back right around the corner.
Are you sick of censorship? TLB Talk is the cure. TLB stands for Truth, Liberty, and Balance. We are the newest and most unique social media platform to hit the internet. We were built out of necessity because Big Tech, Big Pharma, and Big Brother are out of control. The only thing bigger than them is when we the people are united. With that vision, TLB Talk was born. Our battlefield is in cyberspace. The battle we're in can be won by clicks of buttons and voting with your wallet. TLB Talk has no hidden agendas, no corporate funding, and we do not sell, trade, or give away any of your information. The battle we're in can be won by clicks of buttons and voting with your wallet. Our platform runs off of generous donations of members and merchandise profits. So please, check out our site. It's the best around, and be sure to stop by our store. It's loaded with items that'll have you feeling a sense of member pride and victory. Come unite with us today at tlbtalk.com and join the social media revolution.
Indeed. And we're back. And you know what? I want to throw in some of my music because I love it so much. And I feel so blessed to be on the show. We're not switching gears yet. Right after this, we're going to talk about the Killers of the Flower Moon, if anybody's ever heard of that. So, as we wind up another half hour, Steve, you remember... the movie that they made about the children, about the, what do you call it? I forget the name of it. About the children being kidnapped and everything. And
which children?
I'm sorry?
Which children?
The kidnapped children. You remember they made that movie about the children.
Just earlier.
I can't remember what the name was.
Earlier this year?
Yeah.
The Mel Gibson movie?
It was, you know, it was okay, you know, who funded it and where did it come from? And I had a lot of questions on that.
Yeah, I've seen it.
The name of it. But on the heels of that comes another story, which is also tied to Sachin Littlefeather, who, as we know, and as I shared, I think it might have been the last show or the one before that, when Marlon Brando refused the Oscar in 1973, and she spoke. And she was...
That was The Sound of Freedom.
I'm sorry?
The Sound of Freedom.
Okay, there you go. There you go. That's what the movie was, right. And Sachin Littlefeather got physically attacked by Johnny Cash at the end. And he had to be held back by security. It's stuff like that that you learn, okay? Well, it's kind of the same thing, because then after that, Sachin Littlefeather could no longer work in she was blackballed, right, in Hollywood ever since then. So that's why I wanted to talk about this, because a friend asks a friend, okay? This is third party, and it's something that I believe. Listen to this. A friend asked me, not necessarily me, but this is something that I'm reading to you from someone else. A friend asked me if I had seen The Killers of the Flower Moon. And I answered, no, I hadn't seen it, but I had read it. And then they asked if I liked the book. And I said, it was mid. And then they asked why I thought so. And I said, well, Linda Hogan's novel, Mean Spirit, a finalist for the Pulitzer Prize, was by light years the better novel. And then my friend says, well, who's Linda Hogan? Ah. And I said, the Chickasaw author of more than 20 books, novels, poems, and a memoir. I can't name one of them that is not great, who wrote the story better 33 years ago, actually, this year, and who, I guarantee, hasn't made 1/90th of what David Gran has, the white author of Killers of the Flower Moon, and what he made in her entire career. But I'll bet that he read Mean Spirit. See, the main difference? He spends a lot of time glorifying white men. And those are her words. Also, she is by far the superior author and writer. And I asked my friend why they think they'd never heard of Linda Hogan. I think we all know why. That's America. It's the same thing as Sachin Littlefeather. You know, and they have the gall and the nerve to you know, to laugh at us like that. I'm just reacting to what I'm seeing in the chat. Yes, the sound of shills, right? Because immediately you're saying to yourself, oh, distraction. Okay, when that movie came out, when that first picture of that movie came out, that's the first thing I thought was, what are they trying to distract us from? Where does the money come from? Who's behind it? Sure enough, it's one of the Rothschilds' favorites in the family. You know, oh, okay, Carlos Sims, I think his name is. Whatever. Okay, I just remembered it right off the top of my head. I'm glad I did. So this is kind of the same thing. Okay, we're not talking about I know the truth and I, you know, listen to me and I know what I'm. I don't. I'm sharing what I know with everyone. And what I'm going to be sharing with everyone in the next while is something that Steve might be actually interested in talking about with me. Oh, boy.
What's that?
John Lennon. Oh, you can see it. You can read it with me down here on the screen. John Lennon, Tavistock, all the way. The best kept secret in America. I just found this, and it's like I'm guaranteeing that most people don't know. You know, the guy who penned the words, give peace a chance, was assassinated by the very people that created him. This is how this article is being put. It's not about the talent, how our stars rise to the top. It's how the game is played and how they play the game. Fascinating. You know, look at what happened to Michael Jackson, right? You can start talking about the different people, about the different, you know, the Beatles, the Rolling Stones, and then you find out Tavistock. Tavistock created the Beatles. It wasn't like, oh, American Bandstand was already there. Oh, you know, everything was set up because it's all about doing society experiments. Not just MK Ultra, right, Steve? But I mean, all this stuff about, oh man, like you go through this and they talk about Charles Manson and the PSYOP there. They talk about the top 40 hits and why it was called top 40 hits. Supposedly all about the exploring and the possibility of the manipulation of consciousness, time, thought, and indeed reality that were part of the Phoenix Montauk Project. Good grief. We're not just talking about, you know, Project Artichoke, MK Ultra, you know, unbelievable. This is what they do. And they invented everything. You know, it's just like time. If people could sit back and go, what one person thought of the concept of time, that's one idea. Why is it everything that matters? You know, it's one idea. And they were watching also people that were able to create such crowd hysteria. And Adolf Hitler was, of course, one of them, right? And why? Oh, because they loved him, just like they love Assad, just like they love Gaddafi, just like they love Saddam. But we're not going to go there, right? You're not supposed to know that. See, everything is related. And when you start going down rabbit holes, oh, look at that. Look at this rabbit hole. Oh, caveat. Oh, here we go. Very interesting stuff. I didn't even know I was going to talk about this today, but we're down this rabbit hole very quickly. It's all okay. Think of manipulation of consciousness. The Walkman that we used. I used to love my Walkman. I wouldn't go anywhere without it. A good friend points out to me a certain song recently by Metallica. And if I'm not mistaken, there are cantonations in it, the singing of the same thing over and over again, the choruses and the verses, you know, bloody hell this, or, you know, the devil in me, or, you know, whatever the words are. And you keep saying the same thing. And it gets to be sung and cantonized, I think the word is, by the young people. And as beautiful as I mentioned, the fact that, you know, some of the rap music is talking and teaching kids about political situations and stuff like that through their music. And you have the kids repeating it and the kids knowing it by heart and singing it all day long. But you also have stuff like this that I'm sure that exists. They're uttering the words like that and they're really being conscious of what, you know, of what they mean. Some aren't at all. And they don't realize the potential harm. Words are spells, right? They keep telling us, be careful how you use them. So we have choices. And, you know, this is what I wanted to talk about today, about that type of thing. I'm not going to go further than Ed Sullivan and an American Bandstand that were already laid. That was groundwork for the growth of television, because they made it possible to create the audience that was to create the groundswell to change history, right? So they got the support they needed. It's really fascinating stuff. And then you go into the drugs. The Beatles were part of the mass experimentation. You know, like, how come LSD, you know, Lucy in the Sky with Diamonds, Sergeant Pepper, hello, that didn't even look natural to me. And I wasn't that old when that came out. They were part of a mass experimentation, the Beatles were, that contemporary society has been subjected to by CIA, Britain's MI6, and the Tavistock Institute, utilizing extraordinarily powerful mind-altering psychedelic, psychotropic drugs. And they go through the plan. They explain the plan to you. You know, to some people it might not be that interesting, but to me it is. Because that's, you know, everything is related. So this is what fascinates me so much. And before we change subjects, I have to play this, because this is one of my favorites. And I can't go anywhere without it. I want people to understand who I am. I want them to know, in all humility that I can muster, okay? I want them to know who I am. I want you to know who I am. And I'm sitting there thinking about everything that I'm missing, everything that I deeply miss, like these ceremonies, the sweat lodges, sitting by the fire and getting the rocks hot, and they were called the grandfathers, and you had a specific ceremony that you went through for that. I miss that because I'm living in an apartment and I'm no longer around the people that I was around during that time after finding out what they were doing, and I was not in agreement with that. Okay, so I'm by myself and I'm thinking, why don't you kind of give allegiance to what you, or just, you know, pay homage to what you understand, what is yours. And what a better time to explain something that people don't get. And it's very important. I don't know how many times I've been told, you know, black is the North for me. And you hear, oh, no. And Lakota, it's different. Okay. No, Luca, you're wrong. Black is not North. Okay. Yes, it is. Okay. That's how I was taught. You don't sway away from what you were taught. That's what you learn. If you love what you're being taught and you learn slowly, then you stay with what you have. See, what everybody does, they want to do the easy way, right? Okay. Go to Lakota country out west. Pick up something of theirs. Bring back the buffalo skull. There you go. Put that in front of the sweat lodge. Buffalo skull? No. We live in Salagi country, which is Cherokee country. There's no buffalo skulls here. That's out west. No. See? Okay. First thing you see. I even knew that when I came here to Keokuk, Iowa, where I live, and I did ceremony with these people. And, they lived in Lakota territory for a long time. Oh, okay. So that's no. That's the best way, first of all, to muddy the waters. Second of all, to drown your spirit. Third of all, to be taught wrong and to be brought down rabbit holes and wrong roads that are not for you. See, this is what happens. Everybody wants to do it the easy way. Take a little bit of Mormonism. I'm going to take a little bit of Christianity. I'm going to go to the Native American church on Sunday. This is what they're going. This is exactly what government wants us to do, because we're going further and further away from honor, from hard work, from dependency on ourselves, right? They want us to be dependent on them. So let's make it easy for them. There you go. You know, and then when something happens, oh, they'll be clamoring for a solution, right? So long story short, I said to myself, you know what? I'm going to keep it really simple. I'm going to stay with my teachings. And you know what? What a better time to honor them than a show like mine. And it's something that's really interesting, because 500 nations have 500 different ways of looking at the creation story. You know, some people really believe in the turtle island story. Well, how did they know it was shaped like a turtle? They didn't go out of space. You wouldn't believe the stuff I've been told. Okay, it's really sad. But, you know, well, you know what? Mounds, the Indian burial mounds outside of St. Louis, guess what? They're not going to tell us that there are Egyptian artifacts in the mounds from thousands of years ago. Where did that show up? You know what I mean? We're being lied to. And what they do is they show us in the museum what we're allowed to see. The rest goes under lock and key. I've been told by my best friend, who does nothing but investigations, now that he's had a chance to be, you know, that high up, that's what he does. And that's what we do. We talk a lot. Okay. The universe. This is my Mi'kmaq belief. Okay. And anybody on here right now kind of should be, or probably wants to be, interested in who I am. And this is my belief. Okay. The universe is your great grandfather and controls all spirit forces. The moon is your grandmother. She controls the seasons and the fertility. The sun spirit is your grandfather and controls all energy life. The sky is your father and controls the atmosphere. The earth is your mother, and she will provide you with the sustenance of life. Okay? That's a really big hint right there. Mother Earth, Mother Nature. And she will provide you with the sustenance of life. And Steve, you're looking at my colors right there. Black is north. White is south. Is east, I'm sorry. Yellow is south. And red is west. And if you look, you won't find that very much on Google. It's all different. Black is over here to the left, and, you know, red is down south. This is how, and, you know, you have to stay with what you're taught. And this is what I honor about Annie. This is what I love. And I'm going to have to say this live, because I'm just thinking this now, because she believes a certain way, and she allows other people, because she knows that it's up to everybody else to think the way they want to think and to go down their path. And if our paths meet, great. If they don't, that's fine too. I'll pray for you. Okay? This is my way. And it's one of the most beautiful ways that I've learned, and it's a way that saved my life. So let me just share it with you. Let's go around the clock once. This is what I did in ceremony. When you sit down, see, and again, this is my way of doing it. Well, you know, Luca, were you told you were allowed to? Yes. You know, see, I worked for it. I started from the very bottom, and I had the best of teachers. So I was literally combing the ground at first. Okay. That's how hard I was. They put me to work, and you have to honor everything. And they tell you when you graduate or what you graduate to. So they know right away, just by looking at you and the amount of work that you put into what you're doing, if you care about it, really, how long you're going to last, you know, is he really, in, why is he doing it? What's the, see, motivation is what the elders are looking for. That's what the good that's what the good elders are looking for. Good warriors, like good young warriors, they want to learn. They will swim through you know what to get to where they have to, if that's what they're told to do. And those are the hard workers. I happen to be one of them, because that's all I had left. I had just come out of an 11-year relationship that just blew the foundation right out of my bottom. So I had nothing to stabilize myself at all, like underneath me. It all like a, what do you call it? A carpet that just came right out from underneath you. Somebody has to, you know, hurt more than others. Well, so that was me in 2008. And this is what I was taught. And this is what saved my life. Because you know what? It's as consistent today as it was the first day that I learned it. So when you go into the sweat lodge now, the door closes. You have four rounds in Luca's world, in Luca's, you know, Inipi ceremony is what it was called. One for each direction. And listen to this. Each direction, okay, each round in the sweat lodge, and then you open the door and then people can go out and you can talk about what you lived through and what you learned. And everybody gets a chance to share if they want to. And if they don't, they keep their mouth shut and they learn like I did. So the first round you go in, it's the East. It's the white race. The season is spring. The spirit guide is the eagle. Element is water. Time of day is morning. The sacred medicine is sweetgrass. And the family stage is birth, sunrise. The Wampanoag, the people that I grew up with in Massachusetts, that's what they said. They were the people of the first light. That's what it was. It's so beautiful when you think about it. And also, the East is also for children, the little ones. And you say a prayer for them too. And you know, you've got chills going up and down your spine, like goosebumps. And it's over 120 degrees in there. God knows how hot it is in there. The South, okay, the yellow race. Season is summer. Spirit guide is the thunder beings. The element is fire. The time of day is afternoon. Medicine is sage, very sacred medicine. And this is like teenage adulthood for a family stage. So the South is really for the women. That's how I was taught. The South is for the women. The South is where the sun is. It's where the summer is, the summer heat. It's the women's teachings. The women are life itself. Without women, there would be no life, right? You turn to the West. This is the third round. This is all about the red man. This is when you can talk about history. You can talk about what you know. You can lay, it's so, depending on who you're with, okay? If you're with people that it's the first time they do this, you want to be gentle and not scare them. The West is the red man. Season is fall. Spirit guide is the black bear. Element is earth. Time of day is evening. Sacred medicine is cedar, one of the most powerful medicines for women. Andy, I even think maybe you should have cedar around you. Oh, geez. If I had some cedar tea, I could make some for you. Oh, wow. Talk about powerful. Cedar tea, if you know how to prepare it and how to drink it, it's a, not only is it a detoxifier, but you got rings of what looks like oil on top of the water. That's how strong it is. It's very close to, what's that called? Not petroleum, but, wow. You could poison yourself just like with anything else, right? That's good for you. You could poison yourself or kill yourself with it if you don't know what you're doing. And that was one of my first detox medicines was cedar. And they taught me how to make my own cedar tea. You know, go to the woods with tobacco, with your offering that you made the night before in your red cloth, tied with prayers in it. See, it's, you know, you're talking hunting. You don't just go in the woods and shoot and come back. They used to fast for 3 days, praying about the hunt, praying about the animal that they need, forgiving, asking forgiveness from the animal that they're going to kill. That's, you know, how beautiful is that, right? We have no idea because it was all stolen. All this stuff was what they call oral tradition. And I got scolded by my first teachers because I was writing stuff down. Remember I told you that one on the show? 5 minutes before my lecture one time, he comes up from behind me, takes my notes, and you hear him ripping them up. 5 minutes before my... And he looks at me and he says, Luca, and he points to my head, and it hurt. He points to my head, and it bounces off my head, and he says, you don't talk from that. You talk from this. And he points to my chest, and he made me bounce back about a few inches. You don't... When you read, it's from your head, okay? And sometimes you have to read, like, you know, like I'm doing now, yes. I didn't say north yet. North is the black race, the black man. The season, see, it's winter. Spirit guide, polar bear. The element is air. Time of day is night. Sacred medicine is fungus, which is very important, believe it or not, in health. Unbelievable. We got everything backwards, you know? Family stage is family. So, I had to share that with you today because it's important and it's sacred. And for people that want to get to know me, if they do, and I'm sure that they do because we wouldn't be here if we didn't. I'm going to, okay, I already talked about mean spirit. I already talked about the directions. See, like for this one here, completely different. White is north. Tobacco is east, and that's yellow. See, sweetgrass is red, and that's south. Completely different. And that's fine for them, you know. And then they get offended. Because let's say you go to Lakota territory and they offer you, you know, if your spirit is right, you know when to say no and what to not partake in. And when you say no, you insult them because they look, well, you're in Lakota territory. Yeah, but I'm not one of your people. I'm Chickamauga or I'm Ho-Chunk or I'm Tsalagi. That's not what we do. For us, it's the bear. For you, it's the buffalo. Okay. You know, see, and I'm really thinking that they're really converting. They really are. I don't think from what I've read and from what I'm learning, the average, what they want to call themselves, American Indian or Indian, are basically living the easy way, drinking, drugging, in violence, abusing their children. This is what the elders are saying. And everybody's taking the easy way. Nobody's working hard the way they used to. And that's why the government is moving right in there, paying everybody to just do whatever they want. Take the easy way. Don't worry about it. Don't work hard. We'll take care of you. And you watch this country destroy itself. I have one meme that I really want to share. It's a card section. And the pharmacy. The card section is called mass shooting condolence cards. And it's divided into sections. The mall, school, church, concert. Not funny at all. But, I mean, these are things we're going to have to think about really quick if we're going to be getting with the party or however they say it, or getting the picture, because and I'm talking a little louder than I usually have. And I know where this is going. I know where society's headed. You want to hear where I think society's heading? We can talk about that on the next show. Listen to this. A wolf attacks a sheep and the sheep dies. Okay, so other sheep observe the killing and notice that teeth kill sheep. So the sheep immediately remove their own teeth for their own safety. That's exactly what we're doing. Okay, or we're being told because we're stupid. We're sheep. So, you know what I mean? And there's a picture. I wish I could share this with you. It's a picture. Maybe I'll share it with Annie and she can share it with you. It's a comic that is over 80 years old. and yet you don't have to change a thing about it. It's exactly as much as it is relevant. It's as relevant today as it was back then when it was drawn. You have very quickly, you have a restaurant setting with waiters and stuff bringing money over to a table, and other tables are called education, sciences, healthcare, and arts. And there's a guy named War at the table, dressed in war outfit, eating the money, and just being having the stuff being poured on his table. And that's what we're doing right now. We're just letting everybody go. We're letting everything happen. Here comes great show. Oh, great show. Oh, cute. And we have a few seconds left. Oh, boy. Okay. So, Steve, say something. Don't make me nervous every time. I feel like he's just gone away or something. Is he still there?
Say something. What do you want me to say? Ah,
there he is. Okay. Very quickly. A-10 Warthog. Oh, wow. You know, what a cool plane. All those bombs underneath. How much does an A-10 Warthog cost, Luca? A-10 Warthog, $15 million, give or take. Imagine each, $15 million. That's not what the bomb's underneath. Imagine what we could feed with $15 million. Imagine what we could do for America just with that. One $15 million. Until next week. Thank you, everybody. Thank you for listening to me. Thank you for making this possible. Thank you for loving me. Steve, you've been awesome as usual. And you know what? I want to thank Steve, and I'm glad I remembered because I have it right in front of me the whole time. Cancel the Cabal is now taking care of me. And I wanted to say thank you to Steve for having me on Cancel the Cabal. You want to say a few words about it real quick so people know?
Yeah, but you told me you didn't have that big of a beard last week or something.
Yeah.
Didn't you?
And this is your show that you have, right?
Well, it's my blog, yeah.
It's his blog, and it's also, you know, the home for Roger Landry's shows. So I just wanted to say thank you again for that and for everything else that everybody's doing for me right now, including Annie for having me on the show. And thank you to everybody listening. We'll be back next week. Be safe, everyone.